Business can be like a circus. Don't let HR be the elephant in the room. Count on All4 HR and Business Solutions LLC for all your HR needs. Our team uses innovative technology, effective human resource management strategies, practices, and procedures to complete the work. Our services include recruiting, training, development, compliance, employee relations, HR risk management, HRM day-to-day operations, and more. Contact us today to see what we can do for you.
Hello, 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 everyone. Happy Talk About It Thursday. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to Offer on the Air with Offer HR and Business Solutions, which is Offer HR Biz. I want to welcome you to our first video show, our first live show. I'm excited. And we have a fantastic guest on that's joining us on the show. So, if you don't know who I am, I'm April Halliburton of Offer HR and Business Solutions, founder and president. Been in business a little over 10 years. Our mantra, folks, is business can be like a circus. Don't let HR be the elephant in the room. If you have not had a chance, go on over and visit our virtual home at offerhr.net. You can also follow us on Twitter, Offer HR. We are on Instagram, Offer HR. And on Facebook, Offer HR Business Solutions. And small business owners, go on over and join us on our Facebook group with Small Business HR Success Hub. So welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the show. Glad you are joining us. We have the fantastic Dr. Angela L. Swain, who is joining us today. So excited, so excited, so excited. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Dr. Swain, for joining us.
Absolutely.
So look, let's share a little bit about how Dr. Swain and the fantastic things she's doing. She is a business psychologist, an executive coach, researcher, and an author. As an expert organizational behavior expert, organizational behavior expert, she believes in creating a positive workplace through leadership development, professionally and personally. She served as a researcher and a moderator for the Emotional Intelligence Leadership Institute in Chicago, where she's conducted training programs for managers to discuss team membership, empowerment, and she's a senior consultant with the Open Door Advisors Incorporated, which is an organizational development consulting firm. She is also the author of The Relationship Between Managers, Emotional Intelligence, Positive and Negative Effect, and Employee Voice. She's also the author of COVID-19 and Beyond, Supporting Your Staff in the Time of Stress and Transition, as well as Identifying Entrepreneurial Weaknesses. Welcome, 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 my friend, to the show.
Thank you, April. Oh my God, your energy is electric. I just feel like I can just like meld myself into the screen right now.
Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to thank you, Dr. Swain, for joining us. Dr. Swain is a graduate of the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, of St. Xavier University, where she's got her MBA, and the University of Chicago School of Social Service Administration. We are so glad to have this talented, unique, strong woman in our space today, sharing some great things with us. And she's going to start off by telling us how you were inspired to take the field, go into the field that you're in.
Yeah, thank you so much. So one, thank you very much for having me today. Again, your energy is magnetic. I tell you that time and time again. I think what inspired me in my journey in field, in the field of organizational behavior is really, so my background is in human development and pastoral care. And in 2009, my husband, Jonathan, and I purchased his family business, which is Kimbark Beverage Shop, right here in Chicago. And it's located in the Hyde Park area, probably 12 or 13 years ago. And during his first year, I really saw him struggle.
Okay.
Around issues of awareness, like self-awareness, organizational culture, leadership style, like how was he supposed to lead? How was he really supposed to show up when in the past his sister and his father, you know, took that helm, so to speak. And so that really led me on this journey. I had no idea that I'd be here, but it really was the inspiration or the lighter, if you will, into what is like the past 10 years of my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that started you, actually moved you into the field of organizational behavior, which is actually a field, Dr. Swain, that I have had experience with and just continues to intrigue me on a daily basis. Yeah. I get lost in researching things that impact organizations, mainly behavior, because then that of course, that is the hand in hand with human resource management.
Yes, absolutely. And I'm glad you said that, because oftentimes I think particularly in our space of HR and how to manage people, and I don't even like the word manage, that sounds kind of hierarchical even, is that, you know, we get into this space where we're like, oh, well, we're supposed to manage people. We're supposed to control people. No, we're not here to control people.
Right.
We are really here to facilitate a process. Mm-hmm. And I really think that process is a process of transformation, both individually as well as collectively, right? As well as challenging organizations to a higher standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think often that is missed in HR discourse. No, it's not about what my team members or what people underneath me are supposed to be doing. It's really what do I feel like I need to lean into now? Or where's the invitation now? Where's the invitation for my team and the structural implications of that invitation?
Absolutely. And I think we talk about, and when we talk about organizations, we talk about small organizations as a whole. And me and you have had the conversation about, like you said, the transformation.
Yes.
And that's exactly what organizational behavior is about. It's about transforming your teams to go above and beyond, to put those tools, put that inspiration that's going to facilitate, as the words you use, that's going to facilitate the growth of your business. And that's not just from small businesses, but, you know, as a small businesses, I always say, don't think of yourself as a small business. Think of yourself as a business. And when you start growing your team and building that team,
yes,
you're able to take that organization far beyond your expectations.
Yeah. And I'm glad you reiterated the word small, because sometimes I feel like when people say I consult and coach for a lot of business leaders and entrepreneurs who are just starting out, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've probably done it for 100 years, but they feel internally that they're just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I really feel is that when people say the word small, it's not an indication of what's going on the inside of you. It's just the number. And it has nothing to do with your impact in the world.
Absolutely.
It's totally the number of people in your organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some reason, we have adopted this mindset or this energy that, oh, if I run a small business, that somehow means it's less than private. It's less than corporate. And that is not the case at all.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Because again, it's about, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you're making ice cream, it's about baking the best ice cream that you can. That's your passion, and how what you do is going to impact the lives of others. And so that impact,
yes,
just goes up, you know, it's much bigger than your company size. That impact has nothing to do with your company size. It has it directly how you are impacting those all around you, right?
Absolutely.
Small is just that word. It's just that small, but your impact is phenomenal. Large. And it goes on and on and on. And so you are absolutely correct in that.
Yeah. Small doesn't mean it doesn't exclude the generational impact.
Right. Absolutely. Because, you know, as an entrepreneur, when you start those businesses, our businesses go on and on and on. And when we start a business, we start them to be a legacy, not just, you know, not just a business, but something that's going to impact and help and build communities and help and save lives and all those kinds of great things.
And I'm glad you said that. And I know we're like on a schedule and all of that, but I really feel like, especially in our communities of color, Black people in particular, we are pioneers in mm-hmm. many ways, especially with the political context that we are coming from. It's really important that we kind of own the moment. Mm-hmm. And some people won't kind of carpe diem it. And mm-hmm. I really feel like your audience does that. And so I'm so glad that you said that.
Thank you. So listen, so we're talking about impacts here, right? Yeah. So let's go a little further with impacts.
Sure.
And how you are making an impact because of something that you've been working very hard on creating.
Thank you. So I just authored a book called... I feel like it's 100 years in the making, but it's not. It's called, and I'll describe kind of why the book came about in a moment, okay. But it's called In the Kitchen with Dad, Leadership Tools to Empower You to Become an Authentic Entrepreneur. Mm. And so this book is actually dedicated to my father-in-law, John W. Swain Sr. And so for a while, probably 12 years ago or so, we moved in with my in-laws for their health reasons. And so that really taught me a lot. And my father-in-law, he just passed October of last year. And Dad and I would always find ourselves, quote unquote, in the kitchen. Now, you have to understand that my father-in-law was a pioneering Chicago businessman in the 1970s and 80s. He had a number of drug stores and pharmacies and liquor stores. And if anybody's familiar with the Hyde Park area in Chicago, he purchased Kimbark Liquors.
Okay.
And so I dedicated this book to him because one day we were in the kitchen and he said, "What you burning, girl?" He's from the South. And I said, "Oh, I don't even know what this is, Dad. I made some conglomerate or something. I don't even know what I did." And I said, "Dad, we need to write a book." And he said, "What are we going to call it?" I said, "In the Kitchen with Dad." And he said, "Let's do it." And so I have tons of recordings and transcriptions of him. He unfortunately passed from cancer. In October, and it went to his brain. Thank you. To his brain. And so he said, let's still do it. And he told me the last day I saw him, he said, "It's your story now." And that meant the world to me. And he always held space for the challenging conversations. I used to call him my Socrates. He had this ability to encourage and challenge same breath.
Wow.
And so the book is dedicated to him, and it came about from my husband's wrestle with how do I take over this business that my father seemed to do flawlessly.
Okay.
Which we know internally that was not the case.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, the book sounds absolutely wonderful. The story behind it resonated with me, as I'm sure is going to resonate with everyone that touches that book, because we all have had that challenge, but that challenge at some degree with our loved ones. But it's so wonderful to see that legacy continue and to go into something that's tangible, that you can that's going to, like I said, impact others all around the country, all around the world. I know to read something like that, So the book talks about, tell us a little bit about the conversations that you had with your father-in-law and your work. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Thank you. And I want to, if I could for a moment, take liberty to address the imposter syndrome just for a second.
We talk about that all the time.
Yeah. I'm so glad you mentioned that though, because I feel like in order for people to fully embrace what I'm going to share, that is almost like you said, don't let HR be the elephant in the room. It's almost like as we read information, because there's tons of information everywhere, right? There's information in the bookstores, you can stream it, you can blah, blah, blah. You have friends who do all of this thing. Mm-hmm. And I found that at the crux of this are the voices that are in our heads. And a lot of my research is in emotional intelligence and employee voice. And I really feel like it's all about the voices that we listen to. Right. And all of that. So we can talk about that later. But I really feel like addressing this issue, I desire to turn in the imposter syndrome on its head. Because for too many of us, black, white, whatever you own as your nationality and your ethnicity, is that it's almost like it's a hindrance. And you feel locked, you feel caged, you feel trapped, and you feel frustrated. And so in my one-on-one coaching sessions and my group coaching sessions and all of that, I literally will turn it on its head, because it has a tendency for us to feel, I use the analogy of like a hot air balloon. And so you can, or just a balloon, like for a birthday party, you blow, 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 you get it so filled with air, but then you can't tie it at the bottom. Right. And so my role as a coach is to help you kind of relieve some of that tension, which is often stress, right, from imposter syndrome, so that you're able to tie up that balloon very nicely so that it can soar and do what it was supposed to do in this earth. And that is my primary, I believe, in whatever I do, that's my mission, to help people fulfill what's in their dreams at night.
Wow. I love that analogy. I'm hearing a knocking sound. Are you hearing a knocking sound?
No.
Okay. I don't know what that is. I'm hearing, but okay. I love that. That's that analogy. You said that because imposter syndrome is something just I can't even explain. I mean, me and you have had that conversation, and how it is. It's a huge hindrance, and it's resulted in so many people not being able to achieve their dreams because of those, like you said, the voices in your head that's constantly telling you what you can't do it, and me and you talk about just this venture right here.
Yes.
With me just, stepping out and say, hey, I'm going to reach out to this person, this young lady, and talk to her, and even the video, that's something new for me. Mm-hmm. But, the imposter syndrome is something that, oh my goodness, Dr. Swain, has just resulted in so many people not being able to keeping them from achieving their dreams, because those voices, can be immobilizing.
Exactly. And when I've coached business leaders or ministerial people or entrepreneurs, that is the one thing that is consistent.
Is it?
In other words, it's like there is this inner voice that we all have. It's normal. Mm-hmm. It's not certain people, whatever. We all have it and listen. But questions really are for me is, one, how true is that message? Mm-hmm. Really, how true is that for you? Mm-hmm. And maybe it was true for you before, but it's not true for you right now. Mm-hmm. And great, we can release it. We can give that message another assignment, mm-hmm. right? And then the second question is that message representative of your true or authentic self? Mm-hmm. Right? I think sometimes we kind of should ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. Like, well, I should have more employees. I should have a bigger team. I should be mm-hmm. XYZ in terms mm-hmm. of my revenue. I should. And that's a part of that imposter syndrome. And look, I am no clinical psychologist. I'm a business psychologist. I'm very clear about that. Mm-hmm. And in terms of what I've seen in my clients, all of that message feeds mm-hmm. into this imposter syndrome, which to your point is debilitating. Mm. It's shackling almost.
It is.
Very much so.
Been there, done that. Been there, done that more than enough, right. And so tell me the imposter syndrome. How are you able to help entrepreneurs? Is that how you're able to help them by, again, giving that imposter syndrome or those voices a new assignment? I love that. Yeah, especially the voices thing, because I'm always talking to the people in my head. But about giving it a new assignment, about being able to get to where you want to be. Because, you know, as entrepreneurs, we deal with that day to day, on a daily, several times a day. We talk about the, you know, I can't remember the analogy of how, you know, it's such an emotional roller coaster when you are an entrepreneur. Absolutely. You know, we wake up in the morning, we're ready to conquer the world. But by 12 o'clock, we don't know where we at. We don't even remember what happened 20 minutes ago. Right.
Exactly.
And then
exactly.
by 5 o'clock, we back up on that time. So, you know, it's an emotional roller coaster.
Absolutely. Which can be both exhilarating and then 2 seconds later, yes. exhausting.
Absolutely.
And so the imposter syndrome, you know, there's this thing that we talk about in coaching called the gremlin message. And that gremlin message is often you're not enough of X, right? So it's like, I'm not good enough. I'm not tall enough. I'm just throwing things out. I'm not tall enough. I'm not thin enough. I'm not sophisticated enough. I'm not educated enough. I'm not blah, blah, blah. I had a client recently that said, oh, I can't apply for that job or I can't do that, whatever, because I am not X. And often that's the narrative and the movie which we play mm-hmm. that we can actually, in our time together, rewire that so that that's not a hindrance. We can give that gremlin a new project, a new assignment mm-hmm. so that it can serve us. And those gremlin messages don't come out of nowhere, right? They come from our experiences. They come from our childhood. Mm-hmm. And those things serve to protect us at that time. The thing is, now we're in a different place. So how can we manage that so that it can serve us in our current role?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. That is phenomenal. I like the, like I said, the message, because that conversation, again, is something that we all have on a daily basis with ourselves. You know, especially as entrepreneurs, we're always faced with we're not big enough. We don't have enough money, this, that, and the other. But at the end of the day, it's about focusing on seeing yourself as you are that in that moment.
Yeah.
Seeing yourself as and really celebrating those wins, big and small, and being grateful for where you are.
Yeah.
Right. Because wherever you are, you're 10 steps from where you were a week or 2 weeks ago. And you can think about it when you stop and really focus on it, Dr. Swain. You think about where you've actually come from, say 5, 10 years ago. You know, 10 years ago, I was just starting this business and was like, you know, started it as like, a side hustle, if you will. But, you know, again, we have to really learn to celebrate our wins. Celebrate where we are and not focus on what we don't have, where we are not at, but on the great things that are happening, right? Because we focus a lot of times on the bad things and then totally forget about all the wonderful things that are going on in our lives. Yeah. You know, we totally forget about those because we're so focused on what we don't have, why we're not here, why we're not there, why we don't have this. But when you take that moment and really focus on being grateful for where your journey has brought you to in this moment, I guarantee you, you'll see a whole nother picture.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that because often when we don't celebrate because as entrepreneurs or business leaders, we put that goalpost. We move it 20 feet each time we hit a benchmark, right?
Yes.
Like, okay, my goal is to have 5 clients. We get the 5 clients, she was like, okay, I want 10 clients now. Like, we're constantly moving the goalposts,
right?
I feel like I'm really called to work with high performing, high impact people. And I put that in air quotes because this is something that my clients take on. I don't put that on them. They put that on themselves. And so I'm so glad you said that because oftentimes we don't celebrate it because we're in this web, if you will, of stress. It's like, I got to pay the bills. My husband and I have been married almost 21 years. We got 2 in college, you know, and we got an 11-year-old. So I recognize bills, believe me.
Right.
So, you know, it's always that I gotta, it's this feeling of we have to conquer. And that is stress inducing.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
And I think sometimes that takes away, that's an energy drain or leak, and that doesn't allow us to fully celebrate. The celebration can look any way to anybody. It doesn't have to be what you should do. I should go to the liquor store, Kimbark Beverage, shameless plug. It's in Chicago. It doesn't have to look like I'm going to get champagne. I'm going to get, it can look like, hey, I'm buying a new pair of whatever. I'm buying, it could be whatever you want it to be, but fully owning and claiming that authentic part of you that celebrates you only in the way you know how.
And it's different for every one of us. So, you know, again, when you go back to that, the imposter syndrome you talk about, we are so busy measuring ourselves up against other people's situations. I was talking to a friend of mine and we were talking about social media a while back. And we're talking about, you know, all the different things on social media and people look like this and people look like that and people look like that. And so, you know, and so it's like, well, that's happening to them. But everybody is going through what they're going through. And you don't know what anybody is going through. I think in this time, especially this pandemic thing, we've all had to readjust ourselves.
Yes.
We've had to set different goals. And achieve them and be grateful for where we are and what we've been through and where we're going. We might not know where we're going, but as long as you're heading in the right direction, you're good.
You know,
it's that thing called hope, that thing called faith. That's going to keep you going in the direction that you need to be going in. You hear what I'm saying?
Now, don't let me start preaching up here. I do have an MDiv. Don't let me start preaching up here.
I'm just saying that we have to stop measuring ourselves up against other people and really, like you said, appreciate who we are, the authentic person that we are ourselves.
And there's so many points to what you just said that I could take many different ways. And I really think, you know, I really enjoy creating spaces where people can be, capital B, capital E. And what does that mean? That means, you know, where they don't feel like they have to hide their talents, mm-hmm. where they don't feel like there's a fear of retribution, mm-hmm. Where they feel like justice is upheld, whatever that means for them, mm-hmm. Where they feel like their voices are heard.
Exactly.
Sometimes, you know, I often tell my clients, and, you know, I'm like, I don't care what you wear to our sessions, as long as you got clothes on. Mm-hmm. You could be in your pajamas and like, oh, I'm not professional right now. I'm like, I don't care.
Right.
There's nothing to do with who you are, mm-hmm. Or how you're showing up in the field, because I there's no other place for me that I know, there's no other place I'd rather be than in a session with somebody who takes the mask off. Mm-hmm. Because we wear many masks.
Yes, we do.
And that's tiring. That's frustrating. That's
exhausting.
That's exhausting.
Yes.
And we wear many hats where we may be, and I'm speaking from my own context, we may be wife, mother, caregiver for our parents. We're this. We're in a pandemic. There's so many stressors.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to just be like, oh.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I always tell my brother, he's such a fusspot. I always tell him, listen, let people be who they are here. Just let them be.
Let them be. Right.
Let them be who they are. It's not bothering you. Let them be who they are.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, I want to be who I am, right? I don't need anybody to tell me who I am. I don't need to be who you want me to be. I need to be who I want to be, who okay. I am.
Exactly.
And that's what we all are. Let folk be who they are. Well, I tell my brother that all the time.
Yeah. And one thing that I love that point, and mm-hmm. when people are in jobs or whatever, they're with clients, they don't feel the safety, mm-hmm. psychological and or physical safety to do that.
Right. To be themselves. Right. To be themselves. I mean, exactly. To just be who you are, you know, listen, bad knees, whatever.
Right.
One good knee, one bad knee, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but be who you are. And until you are comfortable with who you are, being your own authentic self, not letting anybody put any labels on you, not letting anybody tell you who you are, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, regardless, whoever you are, being who you are, there's going to be that imposter syndrome will really blow up.
Yeah.
You know, so you really have to be, again, we took this conversation a whole different way, but I just love it. I mean, I love your energy. I love your honesty. I love your authenticity, how you are just like, this is how I can help people. This is what we're all dealing with, because a lot of us may be dealing with it but we're in denial, you know? And so again, we have to be comfortable with who we are, who you are, who I am.
Yeah.
You know,
can you say more about the denial?
Oh yeah. Cause again, when we get to a place, some of us get to a place where we're so caught up with what other people may label us or the way they see us or whatever the case may be, that you're in denial of who you are.
Yeah.
Because in and of itself, when you are caught up in what other people, that's a form of imposter syndrome as well, because you're listening to what someone else is telling you who you are. So you got somebody that's on the outside looking in telling you who you are,
right?
Or what you can or what you cannot do.
Yeah.
So that becomes a form of imposter syndrome as well, because you have to be able to identify who you are, and not only identify who you are, Dr. Swain, but accept who you are. Like I said, one good knee, one bad knee, I don't care. Whatever the case may be, who you are, you have to be comfortable with who you are and stop sizing yourself up against other people and other people's situations.
Yeah. So, you know, there's this quote that says, and I don't know who said this, but it's a quote that says, comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes. 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 My daughter said that to me a while back.
Did she really?
Yes, she did.
It really is. And I didn't really realize that. Well, obviously, as a, won't say my age, but as a person who was, you know, mm-hmm. over 40, I'll say that, that is definitely, rings true. It is the thief of joy.
Yeah, my daughter said that to me a while back. She said, comparison is the thief of joy.
It really is.
She sure did. I was like, when did you get all wise and stuff? When did you get all wise? But, more true words.
Yeah.
Is stop comparing yourself and just be who you are and be that person unapologetically.
Yeah. And I think to all the HR managers out there, it really includes us as the leadership or us in leadership roles, really creating safe spaces mm-hmm. for that to happen.
Right.
Because that doesn't happen, you know, and yeah, I could go on and on about that. But it really does mean creating those spaces mm-hmm. where people can do that.
Right, where people are comfortable, where your employees are comfortable. So then, you know, and so, you know, again, diversity and inclusion has been something mm-hmm. that we've all, I'm not going to say new taken on, but the voice has, it has become louder that's a requirement that's required in your business is that we are, you know, you're making a space for all of your employees and not only making a space, but encouraging diversity, encouraging different ethnicities, different whatever's in your business. I always say to my clients that every single person in your business has an important, unique role. Every single person. I don't care whether you have three secretaries, everyone is going to bring a unique perspective, a unique design, unique thought, a unique spirit to your business. And when all of those things come together, Dr. Swain, that's when you have the culture that you need to just traject you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
When you're encouraging those voices, you're encouraging those ideologies that are unique and they're loving and they're different, right? And they're powerful. When you are encouraging those things in your workforce, you know, and you never know where they're going to come from. You don't know what person it's going to come from. You don't know what team member is going to have that solution or it's going to have that answer.
Mm.
But you have to make a space for them to feel comfortable to share that.
Yeah.
You know, to share that solution that mm-hmm. that we've been looking for, you know. Yeah. So you have to be able to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I felt like there are two kind of ways we can go with that, too. And that is, you know, if you didn't want them to have this voice, then don't hire them. That's one.
Right.
The other part of it is sometimes employees feel as though, and this is not a popular thought, so, but I'll share it anyway.
Okay.
Some people feel as though, well, if I, you know, articulate my voice or if I really share my thoughts, then that means that leadership has to do what I said. And that's not the case.
Right.
However, right. The important thing is that business leaders and entrepreneurs create that space where they can share.
Exactly.
Which is does not happen in all places at all. But has definitely a ROI that is out of this world
yeah.
in terms of productivity, loyalty, mm-hmm. employee engagement.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, you know, and as with HR professionals, we're wearing so many hats, and it becomes frustrating.
Yes.
In a time such as not even just a pandemic, period. Mm-hmm. But we have to keep that in the forefront of our minds. That is so important that we're encouraging those these diverse conversations, these unique perspectives, these strong minds, to come together collectively on your teams. Yeah. That's how companies, to me, that's how small companies become big companies. Because they trust in their employees, they trust in their strengths, in their skill sets, in their unique perspectives. They trust in these team members individually, but collectively, you're impacting the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And a big part of that, which my book talks about briefly, or just one chapter, is like the people plan. And that is, so sometimes what I hear a lot of in small businesses is that, and we have a small business, so now I'm preaching to the choir here, is that we don't know how to hire. We hire on gut. We hire instinct. We hire of what our good friend from fourth grade told us who we should hire. And we're kind of like being led to and fro, right? We go kind of, and even if it's not the case, it's sort of like that's what we're feeling, right? Because to the point about imposter syndrome, oftentimes people don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. People on the outside don't see all of this. We know what we're feeling internally. Yes. And so it feels like we're kind of going here and we're going here. Who the heck are we going to, hire? I don't want to say the other word. Who are we going to hire? We're kind of flying by the seat of our pants. Mm-hmm. And so in one of my chapters, I'm really trying to hone in on this hiring methodology. Mm.
Yeah.
Because some of it is good, right? I'm not gonna dismiss that. Some of it is good. Some of it is, but there is for us at Kimbard, again, shameless plug, we really try to have a hire based on a transformative lens.
Okay.
And I won't go into detail because that's for the book, but there's this process of really, it's an internal work and an external work that's involved with hiring, which I really try to tease out. So there's this thing in hiring that you do the, knowledge, skills, and blah, 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 like
right.
you do, right?
Right.
Like, fit into these buckets. And if they, we've hired like that and it didn't work. it just didn't.
Been there, so done that.
Really try. Yeah, thank you. If we were in a coaching session, April, I'd have you delve and we'd describe and we'd, go into more detail. I would love to hear that narrative. But it's, sometimes it doesn't fit small businesses.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah. So really trying to see what does work. And I love the one-on-one part of it because, I tell my clients, let's have fun with it. If it doesn't work, we chuck it. We adapt it. I, as a business psychologist, I love frameworks. Well, let's create a new one.
Absolutely.
If it doesn't work, let's create a new one. Let's have fun. Let's enjoy. Because nobody wants to be in a session with somebody but you're like, for the love of God, I cannot wait till this thing is over. Like, nobody wants to. Especially in a pandemic. Nobody wants that. So let's have fun. Let's create. Let's change let's disrupt the system. What does this look like for you? What does this moment in time look like for you? And that's what I really try to hone in on. And we remove stressors and shift energy. And we, really, what is that person's ideal performance? Your ideal performance is not the same as your daughter's ideal performance.
Absolutely.
Then another HR expert's performance. What is yours?
Exactly.
What does that mean to you? What are the values associated with that performance? How can we unearth or peel back? I like to use the analogy of an onion. How can we pull back those layers we can get to the core, the essence of who you are? Because I really don't feel, I have some clients who are like, oh my God, my daughter said something, a little baby, like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm like, whatever. Never apologize for that. Mm-hmm. Because I want you to be who you are and bring all of who you are to everything that you do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Otherwise, that's not authentic.
Yes. Stop apologizing for who you are or how you feel or what, why you think a certain way or why you think that or what you're thinking. Because at the end of the day, again, it's about being who you are. Not apologizing for the way you are or the way you feel or, you know, or what, why you're doing a certain thing or saying a certain thing. I think I'm one of those people. I'm always going, oh, I apologize for that. Mm. And my daughter says, would you stop apologizing? Stop apologizing.
Yeah.
A little mini me. But absolutely, you know, you have to be who you are. And I like when you talk about the hiring doesn't, that you need some kind of a methodology, because, you know, I'm forever hiring. Mm. Oh, Lord. I'm forever recruiting and hiring. But how do you build these teams and stop bringing people that are going in and out of the doors? And so a lot of it, I think, starts with the company in itself. That culture that you're getting, that you're building. So you want to be attractive to individuals when you're, you know, when you are hiring. Yeah. That's one thing. But you have to have that culture that is inviting to new hires.
And to that point, April, sometimes people, just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you're a business leader. Mm-mm.
Say it again for the people.
Okay, I will. Just tell me too. Just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you're a business leader.
No.
And I think oftentimes, particularly in our community, mm-hmm. I mean the Black community, is that we feel as though they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. And my father-in-law, back to who the book is dedicated to, my father-in-law taught me that. He told me, and this was one of the last times we had a conversation, he said, entrepreneurship is a con. And we unpack that, and that's maybe for another book. But the point is, they're not the same.
No.
And so people need to know when it's their time to shift. And I don't know who I'm talking to, but sometimes people need to know that there is a shift. You may be called to set up a system, sell it, and get out.
Right.
So it's really, in terms of that authentic entrepreneur, to really know, what am I gifted at?
Mm-hmm.
How am I unique? Where is my intersection?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And knowing when to shift so that you can go on to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not to say skills cannot be learned. Absolutely.
Right.
They can be learned. But it's like, where is that? Where is my, I call it my jam. Where is my jam?
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing, when is it time to pass that mantle mm-hmm. to someone else?
Exactly. And as entrepreneurs, especially business leaders, business owners, you got to be able to, you can't do everything. So you got to be able to put other people in that, let other people in that space that they may can do something better than you can. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, in my, again, just like with HR, you're a business owner, you go, oh, I can do HR. Okay.
Oh, yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, but as a business leader, you have to be able to delegate and, you know, again, hire people that are smarter than you, that may know things better than you do, because your niche is this, but that's not going to be successful across the board on everything that you're doing in your business, right? So you're going to have some other leaders that are going to help you get where you need to be.
Yeah.
And so you know, that comes with encouraging and coaching and building your employees, your staff, so that they're coming up, they support the mission that you have or the vision that you have for your business, because you can't do it alone. You know, as small business owners, you know, you have people, you wearing a lot of hats, and then you have people up under you that are wearing a lot of hats. So you have to encourage that culture, right? You have to, you have encouraged people to grow. And I love encouraging people to grow. You know, step outside of your box. I think I encourage people more than I do myself, because for me, it's like pulling teeth to get me to do something out of my. But once I do it, I'm off and running.
Yeah.
But I love to tell people, try it. You know, do something that you. If I was listening to Iyanla Van Zandt one time, this was some years back, and she said, I'm being disobedient because God is putting these seeds and I'm not watering them. And she said she's being disobedient. I said, that is a very interesting concept. That is when you have those ideas, you have those thoughts, right? Yes. Right? Those thoughts and those ideas, and those thoughts and ideas are good to me. Just doing something different, doing, you know, stepping out of your box, stepping out on faith, stepping out of your box, and just trying something new and doing something new. So as a business owner, you have to be able to trust people, those people that are trustworthy in your business, to help you bring that vision to fruition.
And with that too, April, is when we find ourselves in a space or moments where we don't want to give that up, it's because that back to the imposter syndrome, it's that voice is really loud in that moment, because it's serving whatever that message is serving you at that point.
Yes, I like that. Yes, it is.
And so you're like, okay, I know what in my heart of hearts that's it's helpful for me to do right now. However, messages are saying, and as entrepreneurs, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let go.
Right.
This is me. And it almost becomes this identity thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Where, and in the book, I talk about mirror moments for change. Okay. And that is like who we are. When we look in the mirror, is who we are, who we thought we'd be at this stage in our lives. So again, my background is in human development. So I'm always looking at what are those milestones, developmental milestones.
Yeah.
I think particularly for business owners, especially when you come from a space where you're, like we talked about comparison, you may compare yourself to, in my husband's case, his dad, comparing yourself to your mom's friend from down the street, or somebody who's never mentored you personally, who has mentored you from afar, you're always in that space of like, who am I in relation to that person?
Right.
Right. But that often involves like, who am I giving agency to in that moment?
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. How liberating would it feel and be, and how liberating could you experience unlocking those shackles that you placed upon yourself to say, I'm going to celebrate what I've done. Before that, I'm going to celebrate who I am. I'm going to celebrate the great work that's on the inside of me. And dang it, nobody in this world is going to make that fingerprint that I'm going to make.
I hear you. I hear you. Absolutely wonderful. Nobody. I love your energy. I love your thinking. I really do. I really, really, really do. I can't wait to read your book. I'm truly, truly interested in the hiring methodology. You know, I'm gonna take that and lay my head. I'm gonna put it under my pillow and sleep on it for a few days.
I love it. Thank you.
So now, tell me now, is the book out yet?
No, it's not out. So it's still being revised, actually.
Okay, perfect.
In all honesty. So I have an editor. I have a publisher. It's just making sure that it's comprehensive, yet succinct, and ready for the masses. So this actually came part of it in my work, in my research.
Okay.
I really wanted to the gist of this research is published.
Okay.
But it's published not in a way that is accessible for everyone.
Okay.
And so a couple of my friends and then my husband and, you know, my mom and, you know, God bless mothers, we're like, why don't you make it so that it's digestible for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
And when I think of people who, you know, talking about who I am, people who you admire from afar, people like Adam Grant, people like mm-hmm. Daniel Goldman, people like Susan, oh my God, I forgot her last name, you know, who are household names, is like, how cool will it be to have my first book be based on the research that I've done for the past 5+ years and to make it so that there's this intersection that I've always been in, business, psychology, and spirituality. Spirituality, not in terms of a particular religion one practices, mm-hmm. rather how a person chooses to live out their values.
Okay.
And so I thought, geez, okay, talk about invitation. Mm-hmm. Maybe the invitation then is for me to take that intersection that I've always been in
uh-huh.
and to take that conversation, those conversations I've had with my father-in-law that are priceless.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's bring those together
mm-hmm.
and make something that makes a difference and is transformative for people. So it's not yet. I really feel like, you know, so I have a website and all of that, but it's not ready yet. It's in the works.
Okay.
And it's exciting. It's really.
I know. I'm excited for you. I'm excited. You know I am. I'm excited for you. So now tell me how do you think this book is going to impact HR professionals and business owners?
Absolutely. So I'm going to take you through each chapter.
Okay.
I think that way I'm not talking off the top of my head, and that way you can really see. And if you have questions or if any of your listeners have questions, they can ask me questions on that.
Okay.
So I start off really in the preface and introduction with how I felt my voice was hindered or stifled.
Okay.
So I've done a lot of research on emotional intelligence and employee okay. voice, I mentioned in the beginning. And I really felt like my voice was stifled, primarily because I stifled it myself. My mom, my family, no one ever said, shut up. That inner voice, that inner mm-hmm. critic, I did that because when I was in high school, and not many people know about this, but now your audience does. When I was in high school, 100 years ago, I was diagnosed with dyslexia.
Okay.
And when I found out when I learned about my diagnosis, I thought I was stupid.
Mm.
Right? And so I adopted this lens and this framework that said, because I'm stupid, my voice does not deserve to be heard.
Mm.
That's a whole sermon right there. Right. And so I spent the next, how old am I? 30 something years of my life unpacking that moment that I got the diagnosis. And so that's the preface and introduction. The chapter one is really about emotional intelligence and corporate culture.
Okay.
Then I look at creating great emotional intelligence in leaders.
Mm.
And creating great up and coming leaders. Because it really, and I alluded to this earlier, but it really is all about passing the mantle.
Okay, yeah. Right?
You have wonderful leaders, Jesse Jackson, Howard Thurman, Al Sharpton. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I could not name them all in this segment. Mm-hmm. But really, it's really about taking what I have, taking that gift, that legacy that you talked about before, mm-hmm. and how do I translate that to the next generation?
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about up-and-coming leaders. We also talk about how your voice matters mm-hmm. no matter who you are. Often we feel like, I feel okay sharing my voice because of my title.
Mm-hmm.
No. No. So I kind of turn that on its head.
Okay.
The next thing we look at is diversity, equity, and inclusion. You know, oftentimes we don't want to look at the equity.
No. Yeah.
It's one thing to be diverse.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing to be equitable. What does that look like? How is that defined? What does that feel like? And I'm not a lawyer at all. I really feel like there are a lot of things that people embody, that people have, people experience, that's not seen. Example, you can mm-hmm. see that I'm a woman or female, whatever, right? Whether I identify as non-binary or not, you see some right. feminine, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know that I have dyslexia. Mm-hmm. You don't know, true story, you don't know I have multiple sclerosis,
mm-hmm.
right? So there are things that you see mm-hmm. and there are things that are unseen. And mm-hmm. so I really believe that people who are called to HR have to have this lens that sees yes. the unseen.
Yes.
And perfect. So we can unpack what that means and what that looks like and how you can adopt it into your industry. And then what does it mean to achieve a high EI, emotional intelligence, corporate culture? What is that? There's a lot of jargon out there about emotional intelligence and culture and blah, blah. What is that? Let's unpack that.
Right.
And let's steps to get there, right?
Okay. Okay.
And then the next thing we talk about is momentum mirror moments for change.
Mm.
Again, when we get to certain milestones, who we are, when we look in the mirror, who we are is not who we thought we'd be at this moment, in this moment. And oftentimes that helps us or contributes to us feeling stuck. So how can we use that image, use that mirror, and disrupt mm-hmm. all that we thought we right. should be?
Right.
Then we talk about managing your emotions in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about the people plan, which is really touching on hiring. And then at the end of the book, if people care, they may not. I talk about the theory behind, the research behind emotional intelligence and employee voice.
Oh, you know, I love theory. I love theories. I do. I can read theories. I have theories all day. I really do.
I love it.
Methodologies. Yes, I do. Yes. I love. I have a passion for it. I get lost.
Oh, I love it.
Yes. I get lost. I do. I really do. And so the book talks about, I like that when you're talking about kind of unpacking emotional intelligence and how individuals can go, our business owners or entrepreneurs can achieve that. Because again, we talked about at the beginning, I don't even know if it was before the show, but we talked about how small businesses have because they think they're labeled small, they don't really, it takes a while to see that there's a huge vision and to focus on that vision, not on the number of people you have in your staff. Because collectively, your impact is phenomenal, right? And so I like that you talk about that in the book, because it's important that small business owners, that entrepreneurs, really keep that focus, because we can have some gray, some dark days as entrepreneurs growing a business. But to keep those things at the forefront, don't lose sight of the impact that you are making,
yes.
and that you are going to make, that your company, your business, your teams, your employees are going to make.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm so glad you said that word impact, because I honestly feel, and my colleagues may disagree, but that word impact is so overused.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. so, and what I really feel like, and this is coming to me, I have these downloads, I call them divine downloads, but I really feel like what some people say is impact is really recognition.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And those mm-hmm. aren't necessarily the same thing.
No, they're not.
And so in sessions and group work and teamwork and whatever, we unpack those because they're values and they're honest and they're real and they show up very strong, particularly when you talk about imposter syndrome.
Right.
It's like, I want to make an impact, when really the heart of the matter is you want the recognition. Mm-hmm. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. When you say, I want, for me, let's say this, I want April to know what I'm doing. And I want this social media hoopla about all that I'm doing. And that's not necessarily impact. Again, I don't know who I'm talking to, but it's not necessarily impact. That's recognition, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Impact, and I talk about this in the book, where I explore this acronym of from images to impact. where images is the internal work that we do, right, as business leaders and entrepreneurs, and then the impact is the outer work that we do. In other words, what everyone else sees, but what necessarily we're not showing them. But it is the images to the impact, which is the process for change. Okay, who is this? Brandy. Okay, I see. Hey. All right. Which we delve into.
Yeah. I like that. You said that I love that. You said that this people sometimes say, I want to make an impact, when they really just want recognition. And that's fine. You know, that's fine. But exactly. But the thing is to know the difference. And as a business owner, I think as business owners, the recognition is something that we as business owners don't get much of, because we're focusing on the business, on putting the best foot forward on the business and on the employees and on the product or the service.
Yeah,
as opposed to the entrepreneurs kind of fall in the back, you know, because they're holding everything up. But yeah, you're definitely right about that. You're definitely right about that. Yeah. But I love, again, the things that I can't wait to read your book. Yeah. I love the way you in the kitchen with Dad just moves me when I think about it. And as I said, it's something that's going to resonate with a lot of people. Because when you even first told me what the name was, I went back to where conversations I've had with my mom.
Yeah.
And so I love how that, you know, you're talking about the book and how HR, when we're dealing with situations in our personal lives that directly, in fact, impact our professional lives, which I think it says a lot about what's going on with you in this book, how some so personal but beautiful is really going to help a lot of HR professionals and entrepreneurs when they read your book.
Yeah. And you know what, April, one thing that nobody else knows about, for me to even say in the kitchen with Dad is layered, because I didn't grow up with my father around.
Okay.
And so for me to even call my father-in-law Dad is a big deal. So say in the kitchen with Dad, that has many messages, right, to it. And I remember a while ago I would say, you know, Dad, I'm going to find my birth father's family. And he would say, why, girl, I'm your daddy. I'm your daddy. He was from Florida. I'm your daddy. And I didn't really fully understand what he was saying when he said that, you know. And so my husband always teases me, and he's like, if I didn't know better, I'd think y'all was dating or something. You know, we have this bond, but really it's the heart of what I'm saying. And so just call it in the kitchen with Dad. I don't want anyone to feel like when you in the kitchen with Dad that means a biological. Right. Or often when we think of legacy, when we think of legacy, we think of passing on generation. Right. Generation to generation, based on a bloodline, not based on a spirit line.
Right.
Right. So what he was saying to me was, and this is why the book is dedicated to him, I'm about to cry. What he was saying was, I'm not your biological father. It's beyond that.
Absolutely.
Beyond what the naked eye can see.
Absolutely.
And I think in my coaching and in my consulting, that is the drive. Back to the first question, what's the inspiration? Business leaders and entrepreneurs wake me up in the morning.
Amen. Yes.
My husband and I are entrepreneurs. We just happen to be both. The people who are one of them, we happen to be both. That's what drives me. It's the heart and the crux of the matter of being in business. Mm-hmm. It's hard. If anybody ever tells me, oh, I'm enjoying the journey, I'm like,
really?
I want to hear the, oh my God, I want to hear the sighs. I want to see the eyes roll. Never apologize for that, because that's mm-hmm. real. If it were easy, everybody could do it. Mm-hmm.
You're right. Tell it, say it again. It is not easy, but the journey is so worth it.
Yes.
And I don't think that there's any entrepreneur out there that would not differ in that yes. it's worth the journey.
Yeah.
But it is a journey, and that, like you said, it's not for the faint at heart. That's
no.
it's not for the faint at heart.
Somebody asked me, like, what keeps you going, right? And there's this motto that I have in my office, and it says, never settle for an almost version of yourself.
Oh, I like that.
When I close my eyes, who knows when that'll be, I never want to close my eyes and say, my 11-year-old son would probably say, no, mom, don't say that. But I want to do a Kobe Bryant.
Mm.
In that game of life, I want to put my heart on the court.
Yes, yep.
So I'm not going to settle for an almost version of myself. I'm going to rip my heart out of my chest and put it, bam.
Yep.
And leave it on the court.
Very powerful, very powerful, very powerful. So look, I want you to do me a favor, and I want you to leave some words.
Yes.
Have some words for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell the, what can you share with entrepreneurs?
Don't be afraid. Bring all of who you are to every moment you live and every moment you share with others.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that space is who you are authentically. And if we don't have you, we are missing out on innovation.
Mm.
We're missing out on creativity. We're missing out on equity. We're missing out on justice. We're missing out on transformation. We're missing out of all that we as people of color can be and all that this world needs to see and be.
I love it. 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 Don't be afraid. Words to live by. Words to live by. Words to live by. Don't be afraid. I love that. I love that. That is magical. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Words to live by.
And this is a thing, because sometimes I think, April, we go, don't be afraid. And that's easy to say. Harder to do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when I ask clients, I'm like, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Right. How many times I ask myself during the day?
Conversely, what's the best thing that can happen? And the very inspiring things about entrepreneurs is, and I love this thing. It's like, I want us to get to the place where we're comfortable living with no ceiling above us mm-hmm. and no floor beneath us.
Oh, yes.
Because that's when the magic happens.
Oh, yeah.
Not that we settle, or that it's easy, and comfortable doesn't mean easy.
No, it doesn't.
Comfortable means we are assured in that space.
Mm-hmm.
No ceiling above us, no floor beneath us.
I love
that. That's where entrepreneurs live, and that's what I love about that journey.
I need a t-shirt that says that. Entrepreneurs, no ceiling above us, and no floor. I like that.
I like that.
Dr. Swain, it has indeed been a pleasure. I mean, I truly believe I found a new friend.
I know.
because our conversations just have been wonderful. And you know they have. Our very first conversation was like we had known each other all our lives.
I think we talked for like 2 hours.
Yes, yes. When we the very first time. And that's magical. Like I said, you're a dynamic woman. I love your energy. I love your thinking. I can't wait to get the book. I am going to sleep on the chapter about just so you know, hiring methodologists.
Yes.
And I can't tell you how humbled and how honored I am that you joined us on the show today. I look forward to bringing you back again. I absolutely
do.
You're wonderful. Your word is wonderful. I want you to tell folks where they can find you.
Yes. So thank you for that. So my website is Angela, A-N-G-E-L-A, middle initial L, last name Swain, S-W-A-I-N, AngelaLSwain.com.
All right. So folks, head on over to AngelaLSwain.com. Okay, yes. That's your call to action. Get on over there and find out about the great things that Dr. Swain is doing.
Yeah.
The great way she's helping, she's impacting. And I can't tell you how thankful I am that you joined us on the show. I really am. And I can't wait till we do it again.
Absolutely. I'm going to hold you to that, April.
Absolutely. 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 Folks, I want to thank you for joining us on the Air with All for HRBS. We did something different. I like it. I like it. I like it. I like it.
No ceiling above us, no floor beneath.
Absolutely. I love it. I love it. I love you. Folks, thank you for joining us on the Air with Offer HR Biz on our Talk About It Thursday. Don't forget to catch us tomorrow morning. If you see this video around, guess what? If you drop in the comments Freedom Friday HR question, give me a question. We'll answer it live tomorrow morning. You get a free gift, right? Don't forget about it. Freedom Fridays. We got our Freedom Friday HR question. I can't wait to see you guys in the morning. It's been a pleasure, Dr. Swain. I can't do it. I can't tell you how grateful I am, and I can't wait to do it again.
Yes.
Folks, have a great Thursday. Don't forget, business can be like a circus. Don't let HR be the elephant in the room. Okay? All right? So we're still practicing social safe distancing. Still wearing our mask and being kind. We'll see you guys later. Everybody stay safe.
Bye-bye.
Until next time, everyone.